The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I know lots of you enjoying the good weather late last week, probably headed to the seaside. You weren't alone at the Irish seaside. Turns out there was a Russian submarine, or we suspect there was a Russian submarine there too. And three defence forces involved in looking for that submarine. The British, the French and the Norwegians assisting the Irish. Tom Clonan is with me, the independent senator and the security analyst. Tom, it's good to talk to you as always. What was going on off the Irish coast, do we know?
So it would appear to be the case that a Russian submarine had entered into our maritime space. And that would be of concern to the Irish government because we have major critical infrastructure in our underwater environment. We have loads of fibre optic cables that carry digital information from Ireland to the United States and from continental Europe to the United States. So we're actually, based on our critical underwater infrastructure, the kind of the digital link between the European Union, Britain and the United States. And so we have dozens of these fibre optic cables that come ashore in Ireland and go all the way across the Atlantic to the eastern seaboard of the US. I think Ireland carries about one third of all digital and internet traffic between ourselves and the United States.
Wow.
We store approximately one third of the European Union's data in our many data centres we have across the state. So this critical infrastructure is of major strategic concern. And in addition to that, all the major cables that connect continental Europe to the United States, they all pass through Irish territorial waters before they drop off the continental shelf. So when they're all on the seabed off the west coast of Ireland, in those kind of relatively shallow waters, they're vulnerable to interference and attack. And the Russians have form in this regard. The Kremlin sabotaged similar fibre optic cables in the Black Sea prior to the invasion of the Crimea. So it would appear to be the case that there's a submarine in our waters. We had a Russian spy ship in 21 called the Yantar, which was surveilling our underwater critical infrastructure. And so this seems to be another step in that direction of interference. I would say surveillance, mapping, potentially with the prospect of sabotage, because there can be no other explanation at some point in the future. So we had three nations involved in a kind of a grid search for this submarine. The French, who were operating off the coast of Clare in a Brejouet aircraft. It's an Atlantic capable maritime aircraft, which has the kind of the sonar array, the capacity to search our seabed for these submarines. And then off Sligo and Donegal, we had a British Royal Air Force Boeing P-8 Poseidon aircraft and similar aircraft in use by the Norwegians to grid search the entire coast. Now, the fact that they deployed those assets means that there's a real threat because, you know, the Norwegians are busy, as are the British, surveilling their own north and northeastern flanks because of the increase in Russian activity in that area. What's interesting for us, though, is, you know, the only reason why we know there's a Russian submarine in our waters is because our European partners choose to tell us.
We wouldn't know otherwise.
No, and we don't have, and this is not the fault of Óglaigh na hÉireann or the Defence Forces, but we don't have, like other European member states, we don't have the capacity to see what's on our seabed. We don't have primary radar to look into our airspace. Because there's an increase in Russian interception in our airspace, and we're building, but we have poor cyber defences. And given, as I was outlining earlier, the massive critical infrastructure that we have, not just for Ireland but for Europe, you know, there are areas that require investment.
What is the view then amongst our European neighbours as to our defence capabilities? Given, as you say, a third of all Europe's data is stored here in Ireland, and the way you describe it and the way others have described it, it makes it sound like we're not entirely capable of defending that asset.
Well, interestingly, this story has gotten quite good coverage in the UK and in other European capitals where it's been covered. And there's a kind of a growing conversation about Ireland being, you know, on the one hand, we proclaim ourselves to be neutral. And that's a position that I personally support as a veteran. And as a person who's experienced conflict, I think Ireland, you know, we're it's an advantage to us in terms of a foreign policy to be militarily neutral. But in order to call ourselves neutral, we must have the capacity to defend ourselves in a meaningful way. Like other neutral states, for example, Austria, not perfect, but they have a much better capacity to defend their airspace, their maritime domain, their cyber space. We don't have that. And because we are now rely on the RAF, it would seem the Norwegians and the French, we can't really say that we're sovereign in that regard. We can't really say that we're neutral in the real sense. So it requires a lot of investment. And most importantly, we need to pay our sailors, soldiers and aircrew a living wage to keep them.
And if we did that, if we invested, if we got sonar and radar and we invested in cybersecurity and we paid to such a degree that you solve that kind of recruitment and retention part of the picture as well. I mean, is it possible to remain militarily neutral with a robust defence in the world as it is today?
I think it's essential that we do that.
Okay.
We are living, I mean, Kira, I can't believe we're, you know, there are elements of this conversation I can't believe we're actually having. You know, because I grew up in the Cold War where you had Soviet troops in European capitals all over Europe, Central Europe, Eastern Europe, with missiles pointed at all of our capitals. And we were in neutral state at that point. But we have, things have become very, very destabilized, very febrile. There's a very, very dynamic threat environment at the moment. Russia, or the Kremlin are engaging in grey zone operations all across Europe. They're interfering using misinformation and disinformation in the local and European elections across Europe. And as part of that spectrum of asymmetrical warfare, they're targeting the critical infrastructure of other states, including ours. And we have to be engaged with our European partners in this regard. We have to be able to do our own heavy lifting and to cooperate and to collaborate. Mm. And the advantage to us for being militarily neutral is that if we're properly equipped, then we can pick and choose on a case-by-case basis what we want to get involved in and what we want to step back from. But in the situation we're in now, we are provocatively weak. We're provocatively vulnerable. Mm. That invites interference and attack of the type we've seen off the West Coast. And by being dependent on your neighbours in that way, that's actually worse than being in a military alliance with them. I think, you know, we really need to. And in fairness to the government, they have announced investment in the Defence Forces, the Commission on the Future of Defence Forces. So there is an investment programme underway. I think that needs to be accelerated because the security environment has changed.
Yeah.
I mean, we even have aircraft flying across Europe whose GPS signals are being jammed. And, you know, this is happening in Central and Eastern Europe. Like Irish citizens, despite our neutrality, we are being targeted, just as our European partners are, by a hostile state. And that is a situation not of our making. It is entirely that of Vladimir Putin, the Iranians, the Chinese. They're really testing Pax Americana or American, if you like, dominance. And I think we are back in a kind of a Cold War situation. You can see Europe investing more in defence and weapon systems. It's depressing.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that is the reality.
But, it's fraught as well, isn't it? In an Irish context with political difficulty, because, you know, you describe the atmosphere as febrile. The atmosphere here, the atmosphere around debate and discussion on this issue gets fairly febrile as well. As soon as you mention, there'll be people now texting in, we'll put it this way, who suggest that, you know, as soon as you mention investing in the Irish Defence Forces or having a more robust defence, despite everything you've said about neutrality, will accuse you of being some sort of NATO shill and wanting to send kind of young men and women off to die in foreign wars. You know, you used the word depressing a moment ago. That's the other kind of depressing aspect from my point of view, is that every discussion kind of finds its way to that point.
Yeah, it can be an exchange of heat more than light. In fact, ironically, the community that trolls me most often would be the you know, people who are very pro-NATO in that community of academics and people who comment on military issues because of my stated position on neutrality.
They think it's naive.
They just don't agree with it, but they can tend to be quite, how shall I put it, adversarial in putting their view across. And I think disagreement is a good thing, and it's the engine for getting at the truth. But some of them, I have to say, very disappointingly, some very high-profile academics and people who you think would know better can be very, very aggressive and offensive online, in their online spaces. They seem to have a kind of a Jekyll and Hyde persona. But to move back from that, though, but look, Ireland is at a very interesting point. We're 100 years now as a state, but there are going to be significant developments in this island in the next 10 to 20 years, whether we like it or not, whether we're ready for it or not. At the moment, six of our counties are in NATO. We may have to redesign entirely the administration of justice, policing, intelligence, security and defence on this island. And we need to plan for that. We need to invest strategically in it, but we need to accelerate that and get it right. I don't think NATO would have us actually at the moment because
the other point, yeah.
Because we don't have that critical infrastructure. But we do have to have a conversation that is an exchange of light and not heat, and we need to move forward.
Well, I hope we've brought a bit of light to people's lives then this evening. Tom Clonan, Independent Senator, Security Analyst. Tom, pleasure. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.